Let's each pray to prepare ourselves before we study God's Word. While I give you a moment to pray, let me suggest that you tell God you want to learn His Word and tell Him that you want to respond the way that He wants you to. Lord Jesus, we get kind of immune to it, I think, every Christmas celebrating a baby in a manger. But you're God that came in flesh. It's really incredible. And specifically, you came to redeem us, to die, to pay for our sins so that we can be in relationship with the one true God. You came to find us. God, I pray that we would turn and give the gift that we've received. We give it to other people, the gift of Christ, this wonderful revelation that He is the Savior of people. God, help us today with the Word to be motivated to do that, to give that gift to other people of the good news of Christ. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, five of us went out mountain biking a couple weeks ago from the church. And at an intersection, one of us got separated and got lost, like really lost, and got really far away from us before we even realized it. And we called him on the phone and sent him our GPS location, and we're trying to find each other. It was over an hour. It took us over an hour to hook back up. We all had other things to do. We had places we needed to go and appointments to keep. But, and at one point he was like, just, you know, on the phone, he's like, you guys just go, I'll figure out somehow to make my way back to the parking lot. And we're like, no, we are not doing that. You're lost. We're going to find you. And we did eventually find him. It was a good use of our time. There are people that are lost in this world because they don't know Christ. And we have other things to do. We're busy, and so we may not take the time to speak to them about Christ. God's Word teaches that it is a great use of our time here on earth to help them to know Christ. We may be worried that we don't know what to say. Jesus declared that when you are in a situation to be a witness for Him, to speak about Christ, the Holy Spirit will give us how and what we should speak, which is supposed to calm our worry. We're going to learn more about both of those things today. Please open your Bible to the book of Colossians, chapter 4. Colossians, chapter 4. When we were looking for our lost friend, mountain biking, the one thing that I didn't realize until afterwards, and I'm kind of ashamed to admit, is I didn't pray. I just went looking for him. We got to find him. This is not a good situation. Let's find him quickly. And I didn't pray. And we're going to see today that prayer is an important part of preparing ourselves to go after the lost. We shouldn't just run out there and just go do it. Go about it. There are several things to pray for, to prepare ourselves, and to do it well. Please look at chapter 4, verse 2 while I read. You should devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with thanksgiving. This word translated devote refers to what we should be doing on a regular basis. And so on a regular basis, we're supposed to talk to God. That's what prayer is. We just talk to God. It may not be new to you that Christians are supposed to pray regularly, but Paul gives two details here about prayer that we may not be as mindful of on a regular basis. The first is keeping alert. Prayer is a significant part of how we stay alert to spiritual things. Our lives are not just physical stuff. It's not just doing, jobs and going places and buying things on a given day. There is spiritual reality to our lives, and it keeps us alert to those things, and most importantly, to God Himself. You talk to someone when you walk, right? Like, I don't walk very many places with someone for very long, just silently. I usually talk to them. And we've been seeing in Colossians, and we see all throughout the New Testament, the idea that our lives are supposed to be a walk. They're called a walk. And the idea of that is that we're walking with Jesus. And so we're through prayer, we talk to Him and we become alert to that reality that He's right there with us, going through this life with us. So it keeps us alert to Him. A couple of times in the New Testament, this word alert is used with regard to being aware of the fact that the devil is real and that he is trying to come against us. And prayer is part of how we stay alert to that and part of resisting the devil. So if you want to stay close to God and you want to resist the devil, pray. Pray often. The second detail here about prayer is to do it with thanksgiving. It seems to me that much of what people's prayers are is asking God for stuff. I'm not disparaging asking God for stuff. It's a legitimate aspect of prayer. In fact, there's another word that's often associated with this word prayer. It comes with this word prayer in the New Testament that you may be familiar with, supplication, which is specifically asking God for what we need or want, or telling God what we need or want for ourselves or for other people. And so that is a right thing to do. But way more often than a word like supplication occurs with prayer, there's another word that occurs with prayer. I think it might be the most often, even though I haven't looked up every occurrence of prayer and seen what the, you know, done a spreadsheet or anything and seen. But it occurs to me just in my studies through the New Testament that maybe the most often word that occurs with prayer is thanksgiving. We are to recognize what God has already done for us and thank Him regularly in prayer. Next, Paul asks the Colossians to pray for him while they're praying, and pray for others traveling around sharing the gospel. Please look at verses 3 and 4 while I read. Praying at the same time concerning us as well, that God may open up to us a door for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which also I am in prison, that I may reveal it as is necessary for me to speak. So he wanted prayer that God may open up a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ. And then verse 4 is another thing that he wants prayer for. An open door is a metaphor that we can still readily understand. You may even use this metaphor in your life. It's a metaphor for access, right? The door opens up and you can go through it. Of course, this is probably access to people, like access to people's hearts, access to people through conversation, that it would open up an opportunity. God can give that access to people. God can give opportunities in conversations. And Paul wanted that opportunity for the Word of God, specifically to speak the mystery of Christ. We learned earlier in Colossians a lot about this mystery. In summary, it is that Christ is God's finally revealed plan to save people. Christ is the way that people are going to get to glory in heaven, and He is the only way. He has to save us from our sins for us to go to heaven. And that truth had been revealed to people like Paul, but there were still a lot of people in the world at the time who didn't know it yet. And so Paul was asking for God-ordained opportunities to speak about it, to reveal it to others. There's language in here. It had been revealed to him and to others, and now they needed to reveal it to other people. That was God's plan, for it to be spread through people. And there are still a lot of people who don't know that Christ is God's revealed plan to save humans. So I would suggest that we pray for God-ordained opportunities for ourselves, to speak to people around us about Christ. Paul pointed out that he was in prison for speaking the mystery of Christ. So he used to travel around all different places speaking to people about Christ. But even though that he couldn't do that in the moment because he was in prison, that didn't have to stop the message of Christ from going forth, even through him. he asked the Christians to pray that God may open a door to speak about Christ. So even though he's physically locked up, like in chains and maybe behind a locked door, a spiritual door could open. Right there, right where he was in prison, a spiritual door to humans' hearts, to conversation with humans that needed Christ, could open. In Philippians, Paul said in his imprisonment, probably the same imprisonment, Christ had become well known throughout the whole guard. So that refers to Paul sharing the gospel with the prison guards, and all of them had come to know about Christ because of what he had done there. So without us being traveling missionaries, there are people where we go, there are people right where we are at who we can speak to Christ about, or speak about to Christ. There may never be a missionary that walks into your workplace, except for you. There may never be a missionary that walks into your extended family's living room for the holidays, except for you. You're there. Pray regularly for God-ordained opportunities to speak to the people in your life where you are about Christ. The gospel is not chained when we are in all these places and willing to speak. Paul was in prison for already speaking about Christ. That's the very reason he got put in prison. And he's praying that he would continue speaking about Christ. And so this points to the fact that speaking about Christ can lead to persecution for us. Be ready. Persecution may come if you share the gospel. We don't need to just pump you up and go, hey, it's all going to be great. You can do it. And just go out there and share. It's going to be wonderful. There's probably going to be some difficulties. Be ready for it. And do it anyway, even though Paul was right in the middle of suffering prison for doing it. He was asking prayer that he would have more opportunities and that he would do it again. The threats facing us are not the same as Paul faced, like prison. But facing ridicule or rejection and so forth feels risky to us. And so we need courage that when God opens a door where one of us is supposed to speak about Christ, that we would have the courage to do it. So pray for courage. It's a good idea. Verse 4 continues what Paul was asking prayer for. This is like the second piece that he's asking prayer for. That I may reveal it as is necessary for me to speak. The language of this verse, when I was reading it in Greek, because I've also spent time in Matthew translating it, it struck me that the language here was similar to some things from Matthew 10, verse 19 specifically. So I'm going to read those verses to you, in English, of course, not in Greek. And I'm going to read you the verse before and after it just to give it some context. Matthew 10, 18 to 20, Jesus is speaking. And you will be brought before governors and also kings on account of me, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. So here's the verse where I see a lot of the parallels in. When they hand you over, do not worry how or what you shall speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you shall speak. For you are not the one speaking, but rather the Spirit of your Father is the one speaking in you. So for when Jesus' disciples would be in these difficult witnessing situations where they might tend to be really nervous, they might tend to worry, Jesus told them not to worry. Not to worry specifically about how or what to speak. Because what they should say would be given to them at the time. And it implies that they would be guided in the way that they should go about speaking. Like the specific way would be given what to speak by the Holy Spirit, speaking inside of them, like telling them what to do, how to go about this conversation, and even the specific words to say when they should testify about Jesus. I think Paul may have very likely been asking for prayer for this very idea, this very thing that Jesus was talking about. The mystery of Christ being God's plan for humans, for salvation, had been revealed to Paul, and he knew that he now needed to reveal it to other people who didn't know. But think about this. Even for the great apostle Paul, doing that, speaking about Christ to people, revealing that to people, is not just a human thing that you just go about doing. He needed and wanted help. This is revelation. He got special revelation, and he realized he was giving revelation to other people. So it's not just like a script. He's actually revealing God's truth to other people. And he goes, like, I need help with that. This is dynamic. You heard it from Jesus' lips in Matthew 10. When you're in a situation of witnessing for Jesus, it will be given to you in that hour what you shall speak. And how? Which I take as how to go about even the conversation. It'll be given to you from the Holy Spirit who's in you. And so for all Christians, we have the Holy Spirit in us. It's like he's talking to us from the inside, telling us how to go about this if we're listening. When the door of opportunity to speak about Christ is opened, even the Apostle Paul needed to know how to go about sharing Christ and what exactly to speak. And so if the great Apostle Paul needed that in order to speak about Christ, surely we need it. So we should pray for ourselves that if a God-ordained opportunity pops up to speak to someone who is in our lives, to speak to them about Christ, pray that we would be led by the Holy Spirit, that it would be given to us by the Holy Spirit. How do I go about this conversation, and what do I say to this person? And remember, as Jesus spoke it, this is supposed to take away worry, which we might have concerning speaking about Jesus. Namely, I don't know what to say, right? So if we do this, if we pray for this and the Spirit works in us, we don't have to have that worry. Now, it wasn't just apostles and others traveling preachers that are to be witnesses of Christ. So next, Paul speaks to all the normal Christians about them being engaged with non-Christians and how to speak to non-Christians. Please look at verses 5 and 6 while I read. You should walk with wisdom toward outsiders, redeeming the time. Your speech always with grace, as though seasoned with salt, knowing how you should answer each one. So verse 5 is basically a call to engage non-Christians, what we should be careful of when we're engaging non-Christians, and why this is a really important part of our lives that we would be engaging non-Christians and have these opportunities to talk about Christ. This word outsiders refers to those outside the Christian community, what we would now call non-Christians. And this word walk, like I talked a little bit about earlier, it refers to us living our lives, but specifically that like we're supposed to picture our lives like we're walking with Christ, and so we're walking His ways. We're living His ways. And so what this verse seems to be about is this is an encouragement to Christians to live around non-Christians, engaging them, rather than isolating ourselves and ignoring non-Christians. But we need to do it with wisdom. We've been learning all through Colossians about the worldly ways that we are not supposed to live like all those people out there are living. And we've been learning about the ways that people out there think, their philosophies about life, that we are not supposed to hold on to, that we are not supposed to keep or adopt, ways that they might influence us. And so, if hearing all those things that have been said in Colossians, we might think, keep away from them. And Paul's saying, no, go out and be among them. You need to engage them. But this is the caution, is that we need to do it with wisdom. As we are engaging non-Christians, we need to be wise, knowing what to do and not to do, so that the non-Christians are not influencing us to think and live the ways that they are. ways that God would not approve of. So we're not to let them have that influence in our lives. That's part of wisdom. Rather, the reason that we are supposed to be out there engaging them is because we are supposed to have an influence on them for Christ. And so I have some homework for you on that note. I want to encourage you to really think through the people that you engage with and the places that you go. And I want you to think about, how do I need to be wise? So both why, like, how do I need to engage so that I have opportunities with non-Christians to talk about Christ? But also, how do I need to be careful that I'm not taking on their ways and their thinking because I'm engaging with them in those ways? For me personally, when I used to think about this when I became a new Christian, there were lots of ways that I engaged with non-Christians that I had to really think through carefully, and I determined that some of those things that I used to do with them, I couldn't do anymore because it was too risky for me walking with Christ the way that I wanted to now. I just couldn't be in those places and do those things with them. But I knew that they don't know Christ, and I do, and so I needed to still be among them, and I needed to find places and ways that I could still engage non-Christians in my life. And so I want to challenge you to do that with people in your life and with your context. Think through that. So we are living among non-Christians, engaging them. It says, redeeming the time. The second part of verse 5 in your translation may read, making the most of every opportunity. And that's a right idea. But this phrase is literally redeeming the time. So what is the time? I think, along with a lot of scholars, that this refers to our time here on earth. It's often translated as season, meaning like you've got this short season, you got this short time. What are you going to do with it while you're here on earth? It says redeeming the time. That's what we should be wanting to do. That's what Paul was asking for prayer for, that he would do that. Redeeming can mean something like make the most of or make the best use of. And so that's why you get the translations that you have. It's a right idea. But this word often is used of Jesus, what he's done for us. That he's bought us out of an old life into a new life, into relationship with God. He's redeemed us. And so the way that we make the best use of our time that we have here on the earth is helping others get that, helping others get redeemed like we are. So we redeem the time that we have here on earth by helping to redeem people. If we have a proper understanding of what we have in Christ, and we won't be able to wait to go to heaven. We're excited about it. And we might even wonder. I've heard people wonder this, and I wondered this sometimes years ago. God, why have you left us here? Like if it's about salvation and I already believe in you and you've already saved me, like why not just take me to heaven now? I don't need to stay here on this messed up earth. Anybody else ever thought that? Well, he's got a reason for leaving us here. He's left us here for a good reason, for a season. We are to be here being his witnesses. That was God's plan, is to spread this message, spread this revelation of Christ through his people. And so part of the way that we make the most of our time here on earth is by living among non-Christians, being witnesses of Christ to them. This is one of the best uses of our time. I think it was during Q&A, the first service, somebody asked me a question, and so I confess this, you know, that like there have been times you're busy, right? You got chores to do. And I've had times I pray for my neighbors all the time. A bunch of people, you know, I pray for all the non-Christians in my life. And so my neighbors are non-Christians. I'm praying for them all the time. And I'm praying. I want them to come to Christ. And I want open doors of opportunity to speak to them. And then one day my neighbor's standing, you know, 10 feet away from me, and he's looking over at me, and I get out of my car and I go, man, I'm busy. I got chores to do. Talking to that guy is the best use of my time, I think this verse would say to us. You're making the best use of your time by engaging a non-believer to try to possibly redeem them. Verse 6 is about how we speak to non-Christians. So we're out there engaging them, living among them, non-Christians. And as we do, your speech always with grace, as though seasoned with salt, knowing how you should answer each one. Your speech always with grace. There are two main thoughts on what this means. One is that it refers to the grace of God. In other words, in our conversations with non-Christians, we should talk about the grace of God that's been given to us in Christ, that He's given us this free gift of salvation. Maybe. But there's a more general meaning of this word grace. Grace is something kindly given, a gift. A gift kindly given. And so if that's what Paul meant, this would mean the way that we speak to non-Christians is supposed to be a gift. Why would that be necessary to say? Shouldn't Christians always be nice? Well, first of all, I've been around a bunch of different Christians this week in different contexts, and we weren't always nice. So we need to be told. But even specifically, think about non-Christians and think about the Colossian situation after we've studied through this whole letter that was written to them, telling them, be careful of the philosophies of the world that are trying to influence you and to think like you shouldn't think. And be careful of all the ways that they're living that you used to live, that you're not supposed to live those ways anymore. You might be like running from those people, right? You might even think, they're my enemies. And we are not supposed to engage them like adversaries, is what this is telling us. Either because, like, the reason we might treat them like adversaries, all those reasons that I just said, but also, when you talk to some non-Christians, there's some out there that act really adversarial towards Christians, right? Like we're their enemies because we follow Christ. There's people that you talk to who are really adversarial towards Christ. And He's my Lord. I love Him. Your adversarial towards Him makes me want to be adversarial toward you. But this verse may specifically be here to counter any notion that we should treat non-Christians like adversaries. They may be an adversary to Christ. They may choose to be your adversary. For sure, there's dangers of hanging around with them, how they can influence you, but we are not to speak to them like they are our adversaries. So that their sin might be forgiven, Jesus died for people, Romans tells us, while they were His enemies. That's Christ's grace to them. That while they were His enemies, He died for them. Our grace to them is to speak to them nice, while they might be adversarial toward us or toward our Christ. If we don't talk nicely to them, we likely will not get the opportunity to talk to them about God's grace in Christ. Think for a moment. Just really take a moment, pause. Imagine in your mind, think of the most adversarial person that you know to Christ or to you as a Christian. Get that person in your mind, how they speak to you, how they speak if Christ is ever the topic of conversation. Now, imagine yourself speaking back to them only kindness, sweetness, gentleness, care about their life, care about their situation, love. What impact do you think that might have on them alone? When they're treating you the way that they treat you and they're talking about your Lord the way they talk about your Lord. An analogy is given to help us understand what speaking with grace means. Like we might season food with salt, our speech is supposed to be seasoned with grace. Why do we put salt on food? Make it taste better, right? some non-Christians may not think so highly of Christians, as we were just talking about. And so they're just looking for a reason to not like us. They're looking for a reason to write us off, which makes it easier for them to write off Christ. The way that we treat them, the way that we talk to them, shouldn't give them any reason to not like us, to write us off. Rather, it should be the opposite. The way that we talk to them should make Christians, in a sense, taste better. So that for sure we are not a hindrance to people moving toward Christ, and it may even make them more interested to listening to us about Christ. To this exhortation about how we speak to people, Paul adds, knowing how you should answer each one. Listen to those words carefully. Knowing how you should answer each one. Jesus was a master at this. He was a master at responding to each person. He always had the right response to that individual that was in front of him at the moment. And we are to follow his way. There's a lot in this verse that points to this, that when we're in a situation, we're supposed to pray that we would get these words, that the Holy Spirit would speak in that hour, right? In that moment, in that situation. And we are to behave like Jesus, where we know how to answer that person and address that conversation. It seems to me a lot of Christians picture someone who's good at sharing the gospel as a person who has like a gospel presentation that's formatted, like it's typed, but they've memorized it. And every objection that could possibly come out towards them, they've already pre-prepared a biblical response with a quote from the Bible. That's the person who shares the gospel. And I'm not that person. I think this passage pictures something very different than that. We are to be more like Jesus by paying attention to individuals, who they are, what their needs are, what the situation is, what the specific conversation is that I'm in with them, and respond appropriately to all that. And that includes when and how to speak about the good news of Jesus Christ, which you might remember from Matthew 10, the Holy Spirit will help us with. So you don't have to be the picture of an evangelist, whatever you know, you think that is. You just be willing. You be tuned into people that you're engaged with, and God will help you if you're willing in the moment to have the things to say, the way to go about the conversation, addressing that individual. Well, let me put all this together, starting with the part addressed clearly to all Christians. We are supposed to live our lives around non-Christians, living Christ's ways out around them. We need to be wise so that we are influencing the non-Christians for Christ rather than them influencing us in their ways of thinking and behaving that God would not be pleased with. And this isn't just like a little side note to our lives that we're supposed to be paying attention to this. This is an important part of our lives. We have been left here on earth by the Lord to be his witnesses. And the way that we make the best use of this time, the way that we redeem the time that we have here on earth, is by helping other people to find the relationship with Christ like we have. The way we speak to non-Christians is an important part of our witness to them. The way that we speak to them should be like a gift. We speak nice to them, not like they are our adversaries. Our goal is that they would cease from having an adversarial relationship with Christ. And so we need to be the start of that by not being a representative of Christ that's adversarial toward them. We need to be paying attention to individuals, who they are, what their needs are, and what the situation is, and responding appropriately. And that includes how and what we are to speak about the good news of Jesus Christ when God gives us that opportunity. Now, here's what we can learn. Here's what we've learned from the prayer request of those who were sharing Christ in the first century. As part of your prayers on a regular basis, be praying for God-ordained opportunities to speak about Christ to non-Christians. There are times I forget to do this, but I have a goal of this, that every single time I sit in the morning and I think about my day. And if my day includes going out and being around non-Christians somewhere, whether that's getting a haircut like maybe today, or being at the gym, or whatever that happens to be, the grocery store, this is one of my goal prayers, is to be praying for God-ordained opportunities to speak about Christ with non-Christians. If He has something for me, somebody there for me to interact with and speak about Christ, that I would be alert to it. Also, pray that when you have opportunity to speak to someone about Christ, it would be given to you by the Holy Spirit how to go about that conversation and what to say. Remember, this is supposed to take away worries we might have over speaking about Christ. And you may have the privilege, if you're doing these things, to help someone who is lost be found by Jesus. Let's pray before we close. Will you tell the Lord Jesus you want to be His witness to non-Christians? We ask the Lord right now for opportunities ordained by Him for you to speak about Him to non-Christians in your life. Lord, thank you for redeeming us by your blood so that we have an eternal relationship with you. I pray that each of us would make the best use of our time here on earth by trying to help other people come into that redeemed relationship with you. Lord, help us, though, so that all the ways that we speak to people are a good witness for you, that all the ways that we treat people are a good witness for you. And I trust your word, that when we are in a situation where we have an opportunity to speak about you, where you've opened a door and given us access to a non-Christian's life, I trust that you will lead us how to go about it and what to say if we're looking to you. And so let us not worry. Those who agree, give your amen. Amen. Amen.